We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. So if you'd like to turn there. And last time we were here, we began to look at chapter 3. And we saw from verses 1 to 8 how Paul explains to the believers there at Corinth how he and Apollos were simply servants in God's field. They were simply doing what God wanted them to do. Paul planted the seed of the gospel. Apollos watered the seed of the gospel. But it was God who did the miracle and gave the increase. And because of that, neither of these men deserved the praise or the exaltation that this church was giving him. It was God who deserved all the praise, all the glory. It was God who deserved their loyalty and their following, not these men. Now, after doing this and showing this through the process of growing a plant from seed to show where he and Apollos and also Peter fitted in the history and in the makeup of that church there at Corinth, he then turns his attention to the believers there at the church and their ministry or their service for the Lord. And he does this by looking at the example of a builder. And we see the transition from one to the other in verse 9, where he says, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry," talking about growing, and then he introduces, "Ye are God's building." And so he's changed his focus from laboring in God's field to laboring in God's building. And although I certainly don't know anywhere near as much about building as some men here, I have had a little bit to do with building as well and organising various building programs, particularly up north at Coffs Harbour. And I've had a little bit more experience in this field than growing things, actually. And so I feel a little bit even more confident in explaining these things. But what I have found in regards to trying to build something is one of the key things is trying to get tradesmen who are skilled in their particular field to arrive. And to arrive at the right time. No point having the roofers arrive first. There's no point having a lovely roof sitting on the ground, all right? You need them to arrive, and you need them to arrive at the right time. And if you were to talk to Terry, I'm sure that's a lot of his stress, getting them to arrive at the right time. You need the earth mover to come in and prepare the block. And then you need the plumbers to come in and do the subfloor. And then you need the concreters to come and do the slab. And then the process goes on. And so you need a good tradesman in that you need them to actually turn up. And as well as that, you need tradesmen, not just any tradesmen, you need good tradesmen. Now that starts with them turning up. And it starts also, continues with them using good material. You don't want a tradesman that's going to use some junky material that'll only last for a little while and then start to fall apart. And you want them to do a good job. You don't want them to take shortcuts. You don't want a painter who not only paints the walls, but he paints the windows and the kitchen benches and the floor as well. You don't want that simply because he took shortcuts in not covering things up. You don't want to find leaks in the walls because the plumber didn't bother to seal the joints properly. And there are many disasters that can take place if you get a dodgy tradesman. You want someone that's going to take pride in their work. And when you get a good lot of tradesmen working together, you get a building that's able to withstand the test of time. And what that does is that brings honour to the master builder, the one who has brought it all together. There is a certain pride that comes with seeing a project come together. And I'm sure Terry would be able to tell you that. He can point it out that he was the one that brought that all together, a certain building or whatever. And when you use the example of a builder using tradesmen in the local church, we see a connection with us in that we are the tradesmen and God is the master builder. And just like every tradesman have different skills, God has given us various gifts and talents so that we can use in His work. It depends on the grace of God that has been given to us. And that's what Paul, first of all, says in verse 10. If you read there, it says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." He received God's grace, God's divine enabling to do a particular job in God's service, in building His work. And it says there that Paul refers to himself as the master builder. And this was the grace or the divine enabling that God gave him as an apostle. Now, I'm sure he would say the ultimate builder was God Himself. But let's be left with no doubt for who is the master builder here at Golden City Baptist Church. It is certainly not the pastor or the deacons. God is the master builder. He is the one that goes to work here, and He uses each one of us to fulfill His work in building up this local church and the kingdom of God altogether. And our responsibility will partly depend on the gifts and the talents that He has given us. In the building world, a person gets to decide what sort of tradesman they're going to be, and then they go off to learn that skill set. But in God's work, He decides what type of tradesman we're going to be, and He gives us particular gifts that He wants us to develop in order to be able to be used by Him. So we don't get to decide. You might say to a young child, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" "I'm going to be..." We need plumbers, all right? So in our church, "So I'm going to grow up and be a plumber, all right? So I can help on the working bees." All right? So that's wonderful, but that doesn't happen when it comes to how you serve the Lord in these areas when it comes to the spiritual gifts. He gives you that gift. And when it comes to this local church and the work that God wants us to do here, He needs good tradesmen. He needs good builders. That means people that will turn up. People that will actually say, "I will do the job." That means those who will take pride in their work. God doesn't want us to do a slap-happy job either in His work. And He wants people who will use good material. And just like a builder gets paid, pays his tradesmen, the Lord is going to reward us. It's the same principle. The difference is, these days a tradesman gives his quote and he hopes to get paid. He generally does. In the Lord's service, He looks at our work and then pays us or rewards us accordingly. Now, if that happened today in the building world, I dare say there'd be a lot of tradesmen that didn't get paid at all, or very little. Terry's shaking his head. After the builder has to come in and spend so much time and money fixing up the big mess that they've made, all right, he says, "Look, I'm not paying you anything. I think you actually owe me some money." And sadly, there are going to be some believers when they stand before that throne of God to receive their reward, they're not going to get anything after He has assessed the work that they've done. And in this chapter, Paul looks at this day, the day when God will judge us and reward us according to our own labor. And Paul explains how we are all laborers in God's building, and depending on how we build and the material we use, we will either receive a reward or we won't get one. And the judgment day of believers, I believe, is a very sobering topic. It should be a sobering topic. In fact, we discover in other epistles that this is what kept Paul motivated to serve the Lord, and not only serve Him, but to serve Him well. If you turn back, please turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is looking at this a little bit more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 8, this is what Paul says to those at Corinth. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, what? We may be accepted of Him. I want God to be pleased with me. Why? Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The Lord makes it very clear to us in His Word that there is going to be a day when all believers stand before Him and they will be judged according to the things that they have done in their body, whether they are good or bad. And He will reward us accordingly. Some will receive a reward, some won't. And Paul says that this drives me on to serve Him. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. I want Christ to see what I'm doing and be pleased with it. You know, I can honestly say that this judgment day has motivated me more than anything else in the Christian life. And that's a good thing. You know, the main reason why I haven't quit being a pastor and gone and found a job that I thought would be more easier or profitable is simply because of the judgment day. Nothing else, I'm telling you now. I know that God's given me some gifts and I have to give an account for them and how I've used them. And if I quit, I'm scared what's going to happen. Only reason. The only reason why I don't get real nasty and try and hurt people, even though at times some people think I am, but believe me, no one here has ever seen me nasty. I can be very nasty if I want it in the flesh. But the reason why I don't want to do that is because I know I have to give an account to God for the way I've acted. And that scares me. The main reason why I'm always questioning my motives, why am I doing this, is, and I'm trying to make sure that I have the right motives, is because I know on Judgment Day, everything's going to be revealed. And if I've done things with the wrong motives, they will be burned up. They will mean nothing. The main reason why I'm able to let things go that people say to me or about me or do to me is because I know there's a judgment day. That brings a lot of comfort to me. I know that the Lord will right the wrongs that have been done to me and He will sort all those things out. But there's a flip side to that as well, because I know that I have to give an account for the way I've acted and the way I've spoken, and that scares me. And that's why I try to do the right thing. I'm not really interested in just appearing to do the right thing and so that people pat me on the back. I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, because there is a judgment day where the truth will be revealed. Regardless if I fool everybody here, one day everyone's going to know the truth. So I want to do the right thing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul uses this day. The day when we will all stand before the Lord to give an account to Him on how we have served Him. And he used this to motivate the believers there to start living the way that they should be living. And the first thing he does is give them a warning. And brethren, this day should motivate us to be the type of builders he wants as well. This is the warning he gives. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And here's the warning. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. This is a warning to everyone in the church there at Corinth, and this is a warning for every single person in this church as well. It says, but let every man, not just the pastor, the deacons, it's not just for men, this is a generic term, let every single person take heed. That means you need to make sure that you pay close attention to this. And what are we to pay close attention to? Take heed how. Get that word, how that we build upon this foundation. Key word is there is how. It doesn't say take heed to the size you build. Make sure you're building a big church for me. No, it says take heed how you build upon that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's so important. Too many in churches today think that the goal is to have a big church. And they're even willing to compromise the how in order to achieve it, convincing themselves that the end does justify the means. Look at how many people are getting saved. Look at all the things that are happening. Surely God is still going to be happy. But the Lord makes it very clear that it is how you do something that matters to Him. The means of achieving something matters a great deal to the Lord. Some things are done in a very fleshly, godless way in churches. Some have even turned the local church into nearly a nightclub scene. But that brings no joy to the Lord. Well, the other extreme is some people do things in such a strict, black and white attitude that appears holy, but sadly for some people it's done with a wrong motive. And doing things with a wrong motive doesn't bring any more joy to the Lord either. And I'd like to ask you this question, and that is, have you ever stopped and thought about how you serve the Lord here in this local church? And ask the Lord, am I doing things in a way that pleases you, Lord? Are my motives for doing things pleasing to you, Lord? Are my attitudes while doing them pleasing to you, Lord? Because that's what taking heed means. It is doing a self-examination of your methods and your attitudes and your conduct and making sure that it is pleasing to the Lord. That's what we need to do. God is very interested in how we build. It's not a matter of just turning up. Well, I'm here. Okay? You got me here. So what do you want me to do? You know, that's just turning up's just a part of it. You don't want just a tradesman building a house to just turn up. You want him to actually do a good job. It's how we build. Doing things with pride out of having a desire to want to bring glory to your God. And that's what Paul warns the believers there about. He warns them to take heed how they are building. And that also applies to us. But then after that, he looks at the workers and their wages. Everyone's concerned about wages, aren't they? You don't want to work for nothing. Well, we look at the workers and the wages here. And here, he looks at the tradesmen who are turning up on that job site, so to speak, on his building, and how they will be rewarded. And what Paul does here in this chapter is look at three different types of workers. Many people think that the Apostle Paul only looks at two types of workers here, but he actually looks at three types of workers. Two types are saved, and that is found in verses 12 to 15. The other type are unsaved, and that is found in 16 to 20. Now, we're not going to look at the unsaved workers that turn up at the moment. We'll look at that next time. Today, we're looking at the saved workers who turn up to build on God's job site. And these are what you call, the first one is what I would call constructive workers. These are the good tradesmen. We find that in verses 12 to 14. Well, there's a little bit of both mixed in. 12 to 14 says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest for the day." All right, that's the judgment day. "The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." These are the good builders. We're told here that there are three types of good material and three types of bad material. The reason we know this is that when it's tried by fire, all that's burnt up is considered as worthless. So the wood, hay, and stubble are of no value. That's accompanied with the bad workers or the worthless workers. So we're left with gold, silver, and precious stone. And I know some people like to look at the gold, silver, and precious stones, and they try and see what this is a picture of in our life. And I'm not saying, disputing and saying that you can't do that, or that's not what God wants. But I don't really think that God, the Lord wants us to delve and say, well, what does the gold represent? So I make sure I'm doing the gold, and what does the silver represent? So I'm doing the silver. I don't believe really that's what the Lord is talking about. What the Lord is doing here, I believe in the context, is he is describing the labor, or how he sees labor from a faithful worker. Those who are faithful, those who do things the right way, with the right motives, with the right actions and so on, he sees them as profitable servants. They are valuable to him. We know, if you get to choose, okay, do you want a bag of gold, silver and precious stone, or do you want a bag full of wood, hay and stubble? We know which one we will all pick. We like the gold, silver and precious stones. That's valuable to us. And when he looks at believers, who does he see as precious like we would see gold, silver, and precious stone? The faithful workers. Those who have served him well. Where we look at our life and we do everything as unto him. That's what he tells us to do. Whether we eat or drink, or whatever we do as unto the Lord. I want to please the Lord and him alone when I go about serving him. And I believe that's really what it's talking about. Now, having said that, I do believe there are some characteristics about this material that is worth sharing. There are two things that I do want to highlight. You know, when you consider gold, silver and precious stone, one thing they all have in common is they cost a lot. You build a house made of gold and silver and precious stone. You think of that. That'd be very expensive. Cost a lot to be able to have a house made of that stuff. And you would definitely not say that that's a cheap and nasty house. Right? Cost a lot. And we need to understand that to serve the Lord well will come with a cost. Always. Sadly, there are many who want to serve the Lord as long as it doesn't cost them very much. If it's going to cost them some time, well no, I'm not interested in that. If I'm going to have to go without some things and make some sacrifices to serve the Lord, well, I'm not willing to pay the price. And there are many believers who the Lord wants them to surrender something so they can serve, or surrender something so they can serve better, but they are not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to lose that lifestyle in order to serve the Lord. They're not willing to sacrifice their dreams. Look, I have dreamt about this all my life. Lord, that is too much of a price to pay. They're not willing to throw out their idols. An idol can be in the form of a hobby or a sport or a person or money, whatever it may be, but they're not willing to forsake their idol in order to serve the Lord. Lord, that is too much of a price to pay. Some people aren't willing to pay the price to serve the Lord. Remember that widow that the Lord Jesus saw in the temple, where he saw all these rich men casting in bags of money into the treasury? And then that widow came and put two little mites, not very much money back then either. But to the Lord, she gave more than anybody, because she gave everything she had. And the difference was, the Lord looked into the hearts of those people giving, and he saw someone who was willing to give everything to him. And from this we see the attitude that the Lord is looking for in his servants. Here we see the type of person that pleases him. Some people get so discouraged, I'm not very talented, I'm not very gifted, I don't have much to give to the Lord. It's not about how much you give, it's your willingness to give. You know, there are plenty in churches who might seem to give a lot, but in reality, they're not willing to make sacrifices. They're not willing to surrender certain things to the Lord. They may be busy doing things that they enjoy doing in a local church, which aren't really a sacrifice for them. They actually enjoy doing those things. Or they're busy doing things that don't cost them very much, but when it comes to doing what God really wants them to do, they try and avoid that. Well, they're not really willing to give all. It's like those rich men, look at everything I'm putting in, and aren't I doing so much? But then the Lord says, will you give it all? No way, I'm not giving it all up. Yet that widow was willing to give all. And the Lord knows how much we've been willing to give Him. He knows if we've been willing to make the sacrifices He has asked us to make or not. And quite frankly, we need to be willing to pay the price to serve the Lord. Otherwise, our service has very little profit or value to Him. To serve the Lord well will come with a cost. But you know, the other thing about gold, silver, and precious stone is it's hard to get. Unfortunately, you don't just see gold, silver, and precious stones lying around on the ground. It'd be nice. Some people do find some every now and then, but it's generally not the case. Certainly not like wood, hay, and stubble. It requires a lot of effort to retrieve it. In Bendigo, we have the examples of people who are willing to dig these deep holes, often with hands, a lot of toil, hard work in the pursuit of gold. It's hard to get it. Yet there are many who are happy to serve the Lord as long as it's easy. But they're not interested if it's going to take any effort. If it looks hard, they're not turning up, they're not volunteering. If it gets hard, they're off, they're not going to hang around. They didn't plan when it comes to serving the Lord for it to actually require any toiling. They forget what the Lord Jesus said, where He says, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. Cut that out of your Bible. I'm not going to deny myself, and take up His cross and follow Me. Fact is, though, most things that are of any value take a lot of effort. It's just not handed to you with ease. If you want a relationship with the Lord that's worth anything, it's going to take effort and hard work. You want to have a relationship, or you want to have a family that is worth something, it takes effort. You want a marriage that's worth something, it takes effort as well. And if we want to have a church that's worth something, it takes effort also. And it appears that those at Corinth were taking the easy way out. As we go through, we'll know that there were issues that they needed to deal with. But instead of going and dealing with it, they would avoid it and pretend it wasn't there and think that they were godly enough to allow it to stay and it wouldn't affect them. That was the easy way out. They didn't want to deal with things. They were doing things in the flesh instead of fighting the flesh, because the flesh was hard to beat. And so they surrendered to the flesh rather than living in the Spirit. They took the easy way out. Beware of the person and beware of the attitude who wants things to be easy. Serving the Lord is hard. That's why He calls it labor here. Yet we labor to be accepted. This is the same word you can describe as women in labor. It talks about pain and weariness. Labor. And a person who's willing to pay the price, do God's work, willing to make the sacrifices He wants, work with the right attitude and the right motives, and do things how God wants us to do them, God sees a workman who is like the gold, silver, and precious stone. They are precious to Him. And He will reward them accordingly. Now, the opposite of this are the worthless workers. Now, we don't need to say too much because it's just the opposite. But we read there in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. This is not a matter of salvation. This is a matter of if you're going to be rewarded. And wood, hay, and stubble are the opposite to gold, silver, and precious stone in the sight of the Lord. And often when He looks at our actions, our attitudes, while we're laboring away, and the motives for doing so, or how we do it, He sees us busy, but it has no value to Him. There will be some Christians who have spent their whole life for themselves. They're saved, but they have lived how they have wanted to live. They have fulfilled all their dreams that they've ever wanted to achieve in life, yet find on Judgment Day their life has just been full of wood, hay, and stubble, and there will be nothing to show for it. Yet there will be other believers who served the Lord and labored in the local church, yet their laboring was for wrong motives. They served the Lord because they liked being noticed, or they liked getting the pats on the back. Maybe they were able to skim some money from the people. Maybe they just liked being in charge and this was an opportunity to boss people around. Whatever the motives were, they were wrong. And although they labored, they didn't labor well. And all that will be burnt up, and there'll be nothing to show for their work. There'll be some who weren't concerned about how they went about serving the Lord. Happy to do things the easy way. You know, when I was a young man, a teenager, I was learning the guitar, and then I bought an electric guitar, an amplifier, unfortunately for my parents, and I knew that my idol was rock music. I loved rock music, and I was not willing to give that up for anything or anyone, and the Lord challenged me about that within my soul relentlessly. So I thought, well, I'm not willing to give it up, but what I will do is I'll become a rock star for the Lord. Right? So I can have my little pleasure and keep my idol, and I can ease my conscience by doing it for the Lord. And so I can be a Christian rock star. Now, I know there are people that do that. They try and get both. Now, people may come to know the Lord through that. But I believe on that day, when they stand before the Lord will say, I was interested in how you labored, and you didn't do it in a way that glorified me. And all that work that they did will have no eternal benefit. We have to be very careful how we work. We see that effort isn't enough. It has to be the right effort done the right way. And I think we can bring it all back down to this. Will you please just look at verse 8? This is what we see here. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's how it goes. Paul explains that there are individual rewards for how we have labored for the Lord. Each person is rewarded according to their own labor. That means, yes, a local church may be growing, it may be big, it may be flourishing, there may be lots of fruit, but that doesn't mean everybody receives a reward. Those who have labored for the wrong reasons or the wrong way or had wrong actions or motives, well then they will receive a reward according to their labor, how they have labored. It has nothing to do with the success of the ministry you're in. It has everything to do with how you have labored in it. On the other hand, that doesn't mean if a church hardly grows, hardly has any fruit, that doesn't mean everyone there in that church misses out on a reward because there was not much of a harvest. Each person is rewarded according to their own labor. Same thing. And you know, I believe that is a wonderful blessing. That's a blessing. Because at times you can be serving the Lord in whatever way He has called you to serve Him, and you wonder if you are achieving anything. You don't see any fruit at times. Nothing seems to be going right. You always seem to be getting misjudged. You're not appreciated, and you wonder if you're actually wasting your time serving the Lord in this way. But the blessing is, for the Christian, our reward isn't reliant on the success or the harvest. It is all reliant on how we have labored. Now, that isn't the same when it comes to a builder, all right? If the house is not too good, well, then there's problems. For the farmer, if there's no harvest, well, then there's no reward. But for us, we get rewarded for how we have labored. And so regardless if our church is a big church or a small church, regardless if we see lots of people getting saved or not getting saved, regardless if you grow in the Lord or don't grow in the Lord, we all receive our own reward according to our own labor. We are to plant, we are to water. It is God that gives the increase, yet He will judge us for how we have labored. And that's why He gives us this warning: let every man take heed how he buildeth. How have you been building? What sort of tradesman would God see you in this building? He doesn't want dodgy tradesmen. He says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. We want those rewards, not the ones here. And so, I pray that that would encourage us to take heed to ourselves, as I'm sure it encouraged those at Corinth to do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank You for the day. Thank You that we can, Lord, be Your servants, and You are such a wonderful builder to work for and with. And Lord, thank You that You see everything, that You are the righteous judge, and You will make all things right one day. Help us to labor in a way, understanding that, Lord, we do have to give an account. I ask for Your work to be done in us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.